Father, you're so worthy of our praise. Oh, you're amazing. Lord, I pray this morning as we talk about worship, Holy Spirit, I thank you for your word. Lord, we submit under the authority of the Bible. The authority of the Bible. I was being reminded this week, every time you've called the Israelites your people, every time you would gather them together, you would give them detailed instructions on how they should approach. Lord, sometimes we lost somehow we lost the reality of you being reverent. You holy. You're not casual. You're the holy God, the creator of heaven and earth. And yet you've given us access to you, Lord. You've given us access to see your face, to encounter you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would give us here in Restoration Church an increase, a new revelation of worship, what it means. Then when we come together, oh, heaven is open. Heaven is open. When we go out here from here, heaven's still open. When we go to our jobs, heaven is still open. Lord, when we're at Walmart, heaven is still open. When we are in our car, heaven is still open. No matter what situation, season we find ourselves, heaven is still open, Lord. Father, I pray today, as we read your word, that you just increase, like I prayed earlier, but this has just been my prayer for us as a congregation. You would increase the fear of God in everything we do. Because you told the Israelites, your people, when they walk in the fear of the Lord, you bless them. And blessing has nothing to do with the material position. When you are with us, we're blessed. When you're here, we're blessed. So, holy God, we honor you in this place. We bow down. We raise our hands. We acknowledge that you, your kingdom come. You reign. Your kingdom will come. It's coming right now. The kingdom is near. Repent. Turn to God. That's why, Father, we turn to you. I turn to you, Jesus. Would you pray this for yourself? I turn to you, Jesus. Say that. I turn to you, Jesus. Like the disciples said, they said, where would we go, Lord? Where would we go? You know, you ask them, you say, who do people say I am? And they were saying, some people say you Moses. A lot of people had different ideas on who you were, Jesus. And then you looked at them in the face, your disciples. He says, well, who do you say I am? And by revelation, one of them answered, Lord, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the one who came to deliver us from our sins. The one who came to pay our debt. The one who came so we would not live in condemnation. The one who came in, the Messiah. That's it, the one we've been waiting for. The deliverer of our souls. Oh, Jesus, you said, hey, Peter, but this what you just said, my Father has revealed it to you. So, Lord, right now I pray that you would reveal to us again your character. You would reveal to us again your nature. You are holy. You are worthy. You are awesome. No one can compare to you, Jesus. And it is you, when we come together, we adore. It is you that we focus on. It is you that we lavish all our hearts on. Because we can testify, look what the Lord has done in my life. He took us from darkness and brought us in light. So Father, we thank you for opening up the eyes of our understanding. Lord, as we continue to share your word, open your word this morning, I bring captives every thought in the name of Jesus. I bring captives every mindset that prevent people from knowing you. I bring them captive and under the power of the Lord, the power of the name of Jesus. I bring every stronghold. I bring the spirit of condemnation. I bring the spirit of orphans under the mighty name of Jesus. And I release the spirit of sonship, the spirit of daughtership, a spirit of acceptance. You are accepted. You are loved. There's nothing you need to do for God to love you. He loves you just the way you are. Accept that. He's not holding our past against us. So therefore, the enemy has no right to hold your past against you. You have no right to hold your past against you. When God sees you, He sees you through the blood of Jesus. He sees you through what was done on the cross. We love you, Father. You are so good, man. Oh, you come and you saturate us with your presence. We love it, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. God's people said, amen. Ah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Would you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Come on, let me hear you say it louder. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Everybody, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You know, you don't have to say it under your breath. You can say praise the Lord. Oh, the power of worship. Woo. Living a life of worship. You know, I was thinking this week, one of the striking differences in between many charismatic church and many denominational or traditional church, one of the striking differences has to do with worship. It has to do with worship. What is worship? You know, and I've said it here before, and I'm going to repeat it and remind you of this. Sometimes somebody might be sitting down in worship, their eyes closed, and there might not be any expression. But that doesn't mean they're not worshiping. Other times, you might see someone worshiping Jesus like this. I mean, they're in the presence of Abba. It's like they don't care what you're thinking. Like David, right? Why? Because they know where they came from. But the problem is sometimes we put worship in a box. We say true worship must look like this. A couple weeks ago, I told you a story. I won't tell you again the whole thing, but my frame of reference, I love worshiping Jesus. I live a life of worship. But I think one of my favorite things to do is to worship the Lord either with an instrument. I'm a psalmist. I sing to the Lord. I can get my guitar on the piano. I open the Bible. I sing new songs all the time. I sing the word. And then there was one time I came in my office and I thought I was going to have this awesome worship with me and Jesus. And I don't remember if I turned something on or if I, whatever I was doing. And the Lord told me, He said, Ricardo, shh. He said, just be quiet. I understand this verse where it says in John, the time has come where true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So when someone is in an environment of worship, if you're sitting down, you're not in spirit and in truth, you're not touching God. Let's say you're doing the flags. If you're not doing it in spirit and in truth, You're not touching God. So whatever you're doing in a meeting setting, if it's not in spirit and in truth, you're doing your own stuff. You're not touching Abba's heart. Worship is showing great regard, great respect. You know, in our democratic mindset, we don't, a lot of times, unless you get a revelation, you don't understand worship. Because in a kingdom mindset, when the king walks in the room, every subject bow. Every subject bow down. See, now, democratic mindset, and I tell you, and I'm going to challenge all of you, if your knees allows it, because sometimes our knees don't allow it, but if your knees allows it, learn to kneel before the Lord. Learn to get down, Lord. Jesus. There's a challenge I'm giving you here. If you're like me, our mind works 100 miles an hour. You have everything going through your mind. Sometimes you're trying to quiet your mind. That's the time every thought. The things you've got to do, things you've never thought of, they come to your mind. But what are you trying to do? You're trying to quiet your mind. But let me tell you this. The best thing you can do when you're trying to spend time in the quiet place or trying to focus on the Lord, when those thoughts come, of course, if they're not honoring Jesus, you bring those thoughts down. But think those thoughts. Unless they're bad thoughts, you cast them away. But if they're not bad thoughts, you know, let's say you come to the, you know, your house, you set a time and you're going to spend some time with Jesus and you're trying to quiet your mind. You know, I've seen people trying to find peace in meditation and trying to connect with some other forces out there. You will only experiencing peace within when your spirit is connecting to the Prince of Peace. You will only experience peace within when your spirit is connected. Only. No other things will give you peace, bring you peace. Have you ever seen people worshiping something? I hope nobody worships a cute little water bottle like this. Some people have dolls. They worship. I have seen it. People bow down before a doll. I don't know what that means, but I'm sorry if you were Catholic, but I don't. What is worship? Remember, worship is great regard. Worship is respect, honor, devotion. All those are like part of reverence. Reverence is honor and respect that is deeply felt and an outward demonstration. So if I'm worshiping Jesus, and I tell you this, I hate to say this because I'm not making excuse to saying, to speaking the truth. But even when you're in worship, if you feel like you want to sit down with an attitude of reverence. You know, sometimes even when you come before the Lord, you have, you know, because I know sometimes I come and I'm irritated. If I am, you know, or maybe I've got stuff that's bothering me. And I walk in the presence. I walk in the service. And I walk with an attitude. If I do this, that has to also to do with spiritual maturity. When you're a mature Christian, we do have this body, okay? We deal with this body. This body, until we see Jesus, we always have to deal with it. This body, you have to convert it almost every day. You got to tell my body, why so downcast, oh my soul? Put your hope in God. But then, that's why I say sometimes, I can't understand someone who would be in a worship atmosphere and they're just sitting like this. People are singing. They're sitting like this. There's no judgment here. But according to the word, somebody like this haven't understand the reverence of God. They're not understanding worship. You know, the atmosphere is filling the room. The presence of the Lord is filling the room. And then you see them talking to their friend. Yeah, yeah. Really? They're in worship. You see, now, when I was growing up, there's a verse in the Old Testament they use. It says, God is in our midst, is in his temple. Let everyone who entered this temple enter with reverence. So then they had a bunch of rules. They say, when you come in here, you must wear this and that. You mustn't wear this and that. So then you grew up with this mindset. I grew up in this mindset. When you come before the Lord, I must dress in certain ways. But yet my heart is not in worship. You see, what I'm saying is a very sensitive subject. Because I'm not telling you the way you're worshiping God is wrong. I'm presenting you the word, what it says. God is a holy God. Worshiping God must be a lifestyle. Reverence is honoring, is respect, but also it must be shown. It must be shown. Why do we raise our hands? You know, a lot of people, they don't understand why we raise our hands. That's it. I bet you some people, they can't do this. They feel embarrassed. Jesus said, if you're embarrassed before people about me, let me tell you this. I'm going to be embarrassed before my Father about you. Expression of worship. Expression of worship. What are some of them? This is one of them. Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lord. Worthy. You see, but now, this is not something I do here Sunday morning. I mean, if you hang out with me a little bit outside of this meeting, you find me in the middle of cutting a piece of wood. I don't know. I usually have maybe song or whatever. But man, I'll start singing. Hey, Jesus, you holy. Oh, yeah. That's why I say I operate under open heaven. I'm not going to die to go to heaven. Yes, you know, it's like some people, they want to die to enter eternal life. That's the mindset. You already have eternal life through Jesus Christ. You are sitting at the right hand of Father through Jesus. Our bodies, yeah, will go down. That's why you either saved or you're not. Every one of you here, those of you watching this online, you are either saved or you're not, period. There's no in between. You either know Jesus and he knows you, or you don't know him, he doesn't know you. Because Jesus is awesome, we hold him high. He's deserving the highest level of reverence. Listen to what it says in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 30. It says, you shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. You shall keep my Sabbath. You remember in the Old Testament, Sabbath was given so the people could enter rest. But now in the New Covenant, our Sabbath is today. You don't need a special day to worship Jesus. Every day is special. According to Hebrews chapter 4, the day to enter your rest is today. The day to enter a season to cease striving for God's grace is today. What is today? Sunday, June what? That's today. So therefore, when I transition into to tomorrow, which is Monday, what tomorrow will be? Today. So every day is my today to what? To honor, observe. You know how pitiful it was? God's like, man, guys, I need you to get it. I need you to serve me. I need you to have a relationship with me. Adam and Eve, they blew it. But then I'm trying to restore my relationship with these people. So therefore, I give you 6 days. So those 6 days, do whatever you want. Kill, steal, and destroy, whatever. But Friday night, these are the regulations I'm giving you. And you know what? There were sacrifice for every sin. Everything they did wrong, there was a certain sacrifice they could do to approach. And then, you know, Father God, He is a man who he lives by the rules. And really, whatever people did during that week, Friday night, when they start getting ready for Sabbath, through the sacrifice, God accepted them. Because blood was shed to cover whatever they did during the week. Then, the ultimate gift came. Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen here? Amen. Jesus Christ came. And He went in the Holy of Holies, spent His blood. So then we have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. All right. Then every day is today what? Today to keep the Lord's day holy. It's the day for me to enter His grace. It's the day, today is the day to give grace. Receive His grace, give His grace. That's why I don't get it when people are trying to take us back to the old covenant. I don't get it. Don't you understand Jesus came to accomplish the old covenant? So therefore now, I get to live for Christ every day. Not only that, it says, and have reverence for my sanctuary. Does God live in this house? Today, yeah, He's here. But God's only here. He's only here when we are here. When all of us leave, the presence of God lives with us. God lives in my heart. He lives within me. So the Bible is telling us, have reverence for the sanctuary. Now you'll understand why the word says every day worship is a lifestyle. What I do with my body, am I honoring the Lord? You know, do I see the world do all kinds of things. Am I free to do everything I want? Yes. Am I free to wear everything I want? Yes. Must I wear everything I want? You see, now if I come here and I start telling you, because you are children, you are a child of God, you shouldn't wear jeans. That's religion. Because then I'm creating a religion saying jeans, I mean, that's dumb and stupid. Jeans is worldly. People use that stuff. You know, I remember back in the days when somebody used to own a motorcycle and they come to church on motorcycle. People used to think, man, this guy is a gangster. And then come tattoos, all right? I mean, nowadays, but let's just open a small window here. Is it wrong to get a tattoo? I don't think so. Should you get a tattoo? Well, you figure that out. Ask the Lord. Should you? Not only it's up to you, but do you know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Would the Holy Spirit wants you to put a tattoo on his temple? I better close that window. And I'm not telling anyone not to go get a tattoo. Please. That's not what I'm saying. And I'm not saying if you have a tattoo, you are a bad person. Well, see, that's your personal conviction once again. Observe my Sabbath. I'm using an Old Testament verse. Observe my Sabbaths and have reverence for my sanctuary. So your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I can eat anything I want. Should I eat everything I want? Anything I want? My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Maybe God doesn't want me to defile his temple with certain things I'm eating. Some people goes a little deeper. They say, as a believer, you shouldn't drink alcohol. And they might find verses. They say, well, you shouldn't drink this, you shouldn't drink that, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. Should you? Now remember, I'm not telling you you shouldn't drink. But if you're living by the Spirit, and you've been redeemed, set free by the Son, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. If you've been redeemed, the Holy Spirit, if you're living a life of worship, the Holy Spirit will tell you, you like alcohol too much, don't drink it. Tell me again. You will fall under the Holy Spirit's conviction. This is how you experience true freedom. This is when you become free, my brothers and sisters. This is what I'm talking about. When we get to live a life in spirit and in truth, Jesus said, the time has come. True worshipers will worship me in spirit and in truth. It's not a service. It's not just singing. Is my life be a worship to him? Is my temple, is God being honored in my temple? You know, the pressure that's out there, even from a preaching perspective. Let me tell you a couple months ago, maybe like it was January, I had this crazy idea. I mean, you know, I've been wearing, if you know me, I like dressing up. I like presenting myself good, you know, and I like jackets. I like suit and stuff. So I'm like, you know what? I was driving somewhere. My idea went, I'll go there. They sell nice suit. Didn't have the budget. And then I walk in there. I saw this beautiful suit. I'm like, yeah, man, that's good. I want it. I know I'd look good in it. I almost bought it. And then the Holy Spirit's like, Cardo, do you need this? It's like, why do you need this? Why do you think you need this suit? So me and the Holy Spirit, we're having this conversation. I never thought about that. I just thought I'd look good in it. Yeah, I want to present myself good. I mean, right, clean. But at the moment, your motive is not right. The motive behind getting this suit is not right. Guys, I froze right there. Like, Lord? I was like, yeah, I don't need it. I walk away. Now, should I come up here and tell you shouldn't go buy a suit? No. It's my personal walk with the Lord. Because everything I do, I'm doing it to, I'm living a life of worship. You see, when you understand worship, you understand the wrath of God. When you understand worship, you understand the wrath of God, because God, he's a devouring fire. Because of Jesus, we get to experience his grace every day. But there's going to be a time coming, my brothers and sisters, nobody will be able to withstand His anger. Oh, I love this verse, I'll tell you. The Bible record reverence as the automatic response of everyone who encountered the awesome. I like this word in French, it says grandeur, it's grandeur, which is splendor. Everyone who experienced the grandeur of God, the splendor of God, the grandeur, la grandeur de Dieu, the grandeur of God, or the expressiveness of God, reverence will be automatically in their lives. You know, when you experience the amazingness of God, when you come before Him, you come undone. You come like, yes, Jesus, oh, you're so good, Lord, I surrender. Yeah. Oh, Lord, yeah. Yeah, Lord, I give you my heart. I give it. It's like you've experienced, man, I pray all of you can experience what I'm talking about. When you experience His splendor, automatically your response will be reverence, respect, honor. I respect God. I honor God. That's why I don't use the name of God in vain. You know, there's this thing people say, oh my G, I don't get it. You call yourself a Christian and you, oh my God, every little word, oh my God, oh my G. Some people talk about the men upstairs. What are you, who men upstairs? Okay, if somebody talked to me about the men upstairs, I should make, who are you trying to make reference? You know, there's a lot of demons upstairs too. Talking about the men upstairs, the big guy, what are you talking about? What are you making reference? See, when you understand worship and reverence to a living God, the creator of heaven and earth, that's why I don't tolerate people talk bad talk about my God in front of me. I don't care who you are. You start talking about Jesus, I'm like, man, you can't use the name of the Lord in vain in front of me. I respect you, I love you, but you know, but especially if they call themselves Christian. Oh my G, I mean, I understand if somebody wants to say, oh my gosh, but I mean, why do you have to use those words anyway? You know, why you say, oh my, oh yeah, wow, man, yeah. You find believers, Christians, they're struggling to speak right. The Bible says, from the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. And I believe that's why so many years, the world, they laughed. They used to laugh. I thank God that He's raising up a remnant, a generation, and we are part of it. We understand our God is a holy God. We don't use the name of God in vain. You don't use the name of God in your foul language. And if you call yourself a true follower of Jesus, your mouth shouldn't be filthy. And if you have a friend who's constantly blaspheming the name of the Lord, I pray you get baptized by the Holy Spirit so you're bold enough to tell them, would you please, when you're in front of me, do not use the name of my Lord in vain. See, when we live in the fear of men, we're more concerned about pleasing people. Oh, I don't want them to call me religious whatever. It's not religious whatever. I love Jesus, man. Jesus is my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. If you don't get it, if He's not yours, that's fine. I respect that. You deal with it later on. But as for me, I love Jesus. You know, you don't have to wear the shirt. Let your life express it. Don't just wear the shirt that says, I love Jesus. But let your life be a worship. Let my love never grow cold. Let it burn forevermore. Let your life be worship. Listen to what it says in Numbers chapter 20 verse 6. Moses and Aaron went from the assembly of the entrance to the entrance of the tent of meeting and fell what? Face down. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Judges 13 verse 20 says, as the flame blazed up from the altar towards heaven, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. Oh, I pray this. I pray this over our church. I pray this. I say, Lord, as we worship you in spirit and the truth, let the angel of the Lord, the Bible says every time they make reference of the angel of the Lord, they're making reference of the Messiah, the Son of God. Let the Messiah ascending, meaning find its place, his place in our midst. Guys, when Jesus is here, what happened? There's life, right? When Jesus is in our midst, there's freedom, there's healing, there's joy, contentment, trouble. Let's not leave that out, okay? Trouble. Following Jesus, there's a lot of troubles in following Jesus. A lot of trials and tests. As a matter of fact, if you decide to follow Jesus, you will go through tests. Because life has to test your faith. Circumstances will come. But our society, I tell you, they misunderstand worship. Jesus taught the disciples what worship is. You remember in Matthew, it says when you pray, Matthew chapter 6 verse 9, Jesus reminded us that we must properly reverence God. He taught the disciples when they pray for them to say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." What does that mean? Hallowed be your name mean, may your name be set apart. May your name be set apart, Lord. May your name be sanctified. May your name be held with high esteem. Hallowed be your name in my life, Lord. May your name. I want you to remember this. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So let your life be worship. Those with a right understanding of God's nature also understand his wrath. Colossians chapter 3 verse 6, it says, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. But because of what? Let's go there. If you can give me Colossians chapter 3 verse 1. Colossians chapter 3 verse 1. Because verse 6 says, because of these, the wrath of God is coming on men. What is Paul talking about here? Verse 1 from the New Living Translation. It says, since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Verse 2. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life. Your real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in his glory. Verse 5. It says, so put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. And then, this is our verse. It says, because of these sins, the anger, in other translations says, the wrath, judgment of God is coming. So you and I, we must live a life of worship. Then, you know, when you live every day a life of worship, when every day you live a life of worship, then when we come together, man, it's like my little fire mixed with your little fire. Have you ever seen like a nice cold little fire burning, and then you put it with a bunch of other fires, other wood or charcoal that are not on fire? Man, that little thing of fire is struggling. And sometimes if you don't get very close to the fire with a, you know, every cold coals will kill that little fire.
That's why, men, when you're burning for Jesus all throughout the week, I'm burning for Jesus. And then we come together, your little fire mix with my little fire, mix with his little fire, mix with your little fire. Right? That's why I say, God, burn us. Burn our hearts. Burn it. Burn it. Burn it. Burn. May you burn for the Lord. May you burn, starting from the youngest child to the oldest in our midst. May you burn with passion. May my love never grow cold. May your love never grow cold. Every day we've got the worries of life. They're like water, work, sickness, trouble. They're like water trying to put your fire down. Put your fire out. Don't let it. Do not let the world put your fire out. True worship is a lifestyle, my brothers and sisters. Let me remind you. And I want this for our church. I want us to be a people of worship. I want us to be a people, when you live a life of worship, you attract the blessings of God. I want us to live a blessed life. I'm not selfish. I want you to experience the blessing too. You know? And please, when we're talking about blessing, we're not talking about material things. Because a lot of people, they've got a lot of stuff. They can travel everywhere. Money they can't ever spend their lifestyle time here. But yet they're committing suicide. They're not happy. True happiness comes from knowing Jesus. True worship is a lifetime. It is a lifestyle. We worship in spirit when our hearts are abandoned before the Lord. Oh, surrender. Surrender your heart before the Lord today. We worship in spirit when your heart is abandoned. Oh, let it go. Surrender your heart. We worship in spirit when our minds are engaged and filled with biblical understanding. That's why I believe Bible study is good. You're part of a home group. You study the word. You know, a lifestyle of worship will value the body of Christ. Let me tell you this. You guys watch the Animal Planet, right? For you animal lovers, when you see a lion going after beautiful, innocent deer, and you see how he's devouring that deer, but the chances, if that little deer would stay with the flock, the chance is very slim. Because a lion, when I watch those things, I'm like, okay, I'm watching. He's gonna go after the one that wants to be personal. You know, I don't wanna be associating with him. I wanna be personal right now. I wanna just smile. Give me my space, okay? That little deer who wants space, guess what? You're setting yourself up for the enemy. See, when the enemy wants to isolate you, call us. You will always be safe with Kendra and I. You say, you know what? I want to run away. I just don't want to come to church. I want to leave church. I want to leave the community. Isolation, that's the first strategy of the enemy to destroy you. Isolation. He wants the first seed he planted in your mind. Don't go. They don't want you. They don't need you. They hate you. They're a hypocrite. And then you tell them, okay, enemy, they are, but I'm not. We're going to talk about this. Pastor Ricardo, I really need to talk to you. Let's talk. Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, I don't want home groups. I don't want accountability. I feel like I need to be by myself. Right? Depression starts there, right? You're discouraged. You call in your mind. And then you start thinking. And then the enemy realizes, oh, he's wide open. And he's blowing crazy thoughts. crazy mindsets. That's where he gets you. Living a life of worship is honoring the body of Christ. Is honoring the body of Christ. It says, do not forsake the assembly of the saints. Luke chapter 6 verse 46, Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? To worship God is to know Him and to serve Him. Ask God, where do you want me to serve you, Lord? And I'm going to finish right there. And I want to give you a couple minutes to think about this. So Alyssa, come play for me. Where do you want me to serve you, Lord? Jesus, where do you want me to serve you? See, men will always betray you. But the deception of the enemy, he wants you to dwell there in the hurt. Ask the Lord, where do you want me to serve you? Let me tell you this. God doesn't need your help. If God asks, if you have the privilege to do something for Him, it's a privilege. God, it says, if I don't speak, the rocks will cry out. If I don't sing, you think God needs my singing? So now I'm going to show God how important I am. I'm not singing. You know what? I'm not playing. I'm upset. I'm mad. I'm not playing. That's childish. You ask the Lord, where do you want me to serve? Because to worship God is to know Him. To know Him is to serve Him. To serve Him is to worshiping Him. A servant. A servant with a master. And you know our God, He's a good master. He's gentle. He'll never lead us into things that would destroy us. So let's pray. Father, we really want to live a life of worship. Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. Living a life of worship, what it means. I know the word is being planted in each of your hearts this morning. What is the Lord telling you? Now I'm giving you options. You can remain where you are, or you can come to the altar. But guys, please, if the Lord is asking you to just repent, or maybe, I guess my heart is, what my heart is saying, answer to the word of the Lord this morning. Are you living a life of worship? Do you wish to go deeper in a life of worship? Would you answer, give an answer to the word of the Lord this morning? I'm going to ask Betty and Felix and Kendra to make themselves available if any of you guys needs prayer. To come to them. Come to the altar. Receive ministry this morning. Thank you, Jesus.
Father God, we're humbled that you welcome us. We're humbled that you invite us. We're humbled that you join us. Father, through your apostle Paul, as he spoke to the Corinthians, that what you ask of us and what you show us is unknown and is not understandable to those who think that everything should be from the wise or from the rich or from the powerful. Father, you use regular people. You use imperfect and broken vessels. You use us. And you want us to approach you, to come to you in reverence, in love, and in worship, Father. We thank you for the great privilege that we have. We thank you for the great honor that you shower upon us by asking us to join with you, knowing full well that you're here with us. Lord, we ask that as we, just as you've reminded us today, Lord, we're not here because you were here first and we came to join you here in this building. Father, you came and joined us as we gathered in your name, just as you promised. And Lord, we ask that as we, when we break from here, Lord, that we're not now just going back to whatever it is that we were doing.
Yes.
Father, we pray that you brought us back in here to wind us up again,
Jesus,
to strengthen us, place our batteries, to re-energize us, to reinvigorate us, and to make us ready to go back out there, to be worship, Father, to be something that is different, something that attracts the kind of attention that you want, and is representative of your love, of your mercy, of your grace, and Father, of your fruit.
Thank you, Lord, we're just
ever grateful for the opportunity that we have to be iron sharpening iron it here together, each of us learning from another, each of us growing stronger with the others.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we just pray that you will continue to move us in ways as we study your word, as we understand your character, as live in your character, Father, to be worship in everything that we do. All these things we pray, Father, in your most precious and powerful name.
Amen.
Jesus Christ.